everyone. Welcome to No Smut Shaming. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're here to discuss all your favorite romance reads.
And all the dirty details.
This week we'll be talking about Christina Loren's book, Beautiful Bastard.
But first, how was your week?
So I was racking my brain on what to talk to you about, and I thought, let's talk about sleep paralysis. So this is something that has happened to me on a handful of times in my life. It is very terrifying. So it happened to me last week, and this is the first time when I actually was trying to wake up, I actually couldn't breathe.
That's terrifying.
So usually it's just my brain wakes up first and my body can't move. And it is terrifying, but it lasts about 5-6 seconds. And eventually I'm like, you know, I can finally wake up because my brain is spazzing out. But this is the first time where I actually was like,
I couldn't
get any breath in, and I was freaking out. And obviously I can't move, so I can't be like, hey,
help me, I can't breathe.
And so that lasted about 5 or 6 seconds, but it's just so scary.
Has it happened since?
Not since last week. So I started just trying to like think about all the times that it's happened and like what was going on in my life. And I think it's just like anytime my life is like super stressed out, just a crazy amount of anxiety going on.
You gotta calm down.
I gotta figure something out. But we know what it is.
We know what it is.
Have you heard anybody else with it?
So when you first mentioned it, I thought that Kendall Jenner had sleep paralysis.
And Ben was like, nah.
But I don't think she does.
Yeah.
You're the first person in my actual life.
That's ever.
I don't know how common it is.
I don't
think. Is it rare?
I think it's, I was watching like a YouTube video on it and they said sometimes it can be genetic, but a lot of times it's related to like poor sleeping patterns. Mm-hmm. And some people have even said it happens more frequently if they're a back sleeper. Mm. So I stopped sleeping on my back. I'm more of a side sleeper now.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing more terrifying than sleeping on your back like a coffin and then not being able to move. Just like, this is the end. So, I just wanted to share with you guys my sleep paralysis.
Well, that's a rough week.
That
Sorry
is
about
rough.
That.
Thanks. No problem. How was your week?
It was fine. One thing I wanted to mention is we've had a few listeners mention the new Netflix show, Sex Life.
Yes.
And it's based on a book, right? And I
did not know that.
Yeah, it's based off of a book. I haven't read the book. And I was kind of slow on watching the show. But I did want to say, I have watched episode 3. Mm-hmm. So those of you who have asked for our opinion on episode 3, wow.
So I haven't seen it. So you got to tell me.
He does full frontal.
Is he hot?
Yes.
Oh.
Have you not seen a picture of him?
No.
Oh, my. BRB. He's Australian.
And he didn't have a body double. This is his real dong.
He came out and said it is his real dong.
Wow.
And he should be proud. So I've seen him in a show before. He was on a different Netflix show. More wholesome, more of like a Hallmark type.
Really? Mm-hmm. And now you know he was packing.
He is packing. I mean, it is like a garden hose out
just
there.
Just
like,
hanging on the side of his leg?
Huge.
That big?
Yes.
Okay, now you make me want to watch it.
I feel like I should just show it to you. Okay, this is him.
He's beautiful.
He's beautiful.
Oh my goodness.
Let me try to find his business. My Google search is just...
Is he married?
He's dating the girl in the show. They're dating now.
I bet
and
she wanted
I don't
to
blame her.
She's probably like, wow.
She's like off the side of the set being like,
let's take this off screen.
Take that for a ride. Because they get hot and heavy in the show. And when he looks like that, I mean, I feel like I need to show it to you so you can like, we can get your full reaction.
Okay.
Okay. All right, you guys, I have the TV out.
Well, just in case I watch it. So just get to the part where we see his.
Oh no, I'm just going to show you.
The wiener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, for sure.
You guys will be getting my first reaction of this man's penis.
I'm so excited.
I'm just going to wait and turn around to see a television screen of penis. This TV's big, too. So.
It's a really big... Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me put it on mute.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? That is huge.
I'll play it again for you. Isn't it shocking?
Oh my God.
He said it's real.
Will you put the pictures of my dick away, please?
Oh my God! That is massive!
I know!
Can I see his face?
I mean, his face was in that scene you just weren't looking at.
I'm sorry.
That's a softie, too. too.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Okay, was it worth the pause to watch?
I mean, yeah.
Because it's shocking.
When people say he had a big dick, you're just thinking, okay, that's what should be in the dictionary for big dick.
It's huge. And he's very attractive.
I bet his life is really easy.
And he's Australian. Just
rolling around that big dick energy.
He has that accent too. It's like, yeah, everything's working
you're just
for
gonna,
him.
Yeah, I'm just going to melt immediately.
Wow. So of course,
my brain
co-star
is like short circuit. I don't even know how we're going to do
this
episode.
I mean, how often do you see a penis in shows? Not often.
No, that's very rare. Yeah.
So we watched.
Oh my goodness.
And that's our reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I've watched so far.
You know that scene is getting rewound 1,000 times.
Yes.
Just girls being like, girl, you gotta see it.
Yes.
You can see it hanging between his legs from the backside.
I mean, he can't wear his regular gym shorts.
No.
Okay. So this week, I'm just gonna segue into it. This week we are talking Beautiful Bastard by Christina Loren. This has a 4.0 on Goodreads.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first book in the Beautiful Bastard series. And it looks like there are 5 full books with maybe a few novellas sprinkled in.
I think so.
But this is number one. And look.
Before we begin.
Before I jump in, if this is your favorite book, 5-star, loved every page, I want to warn you.
Yeah.
It wasn't a 5-star for me.
Or me.
So
if you will be offended,
I'm going to lay it out there. It's just riddled with HR violations.
These are not HR violations that I find comical, like I did in the last one, like in Tempt the Boss.
Mm-hmm.
These are straight up
sexual harassment, people.
Straight up sexual harassment, straight up like manipulation. There's so many.
Were the scenes sexy and hot? Yes.
Yeah, if you could mute him, if he would stop talking.
Like, I thought it was like a very hot book.
This book is very sex forward.
Yes.
A lot of
which
sex.
Which is fine.
Which is fine.
Which is great.
We don't shame the
it's
smut.
It's just the whole plot.
It's just riddled with cliches too. Let's be honest.
So this is just my, you know, warning.
We're about to get into it.
We're about to get into it. All right.
Let's begin. Let's get into it.
Okay. So we start with Chloe Mills.
Mm-hmm.
She has become kind of the right-hand man to her boss, Bennett Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
She's essentially become irreplaceable, mm-hmm. right? Like, she knows she's good at her job. The only thing that's the problem is she hates her boss.
A lot.
A mm-hmm. lot. And mm-hmm. you know what? Her boss hates her, too. She says, like, he's just self-righteous, he's pompous, he's a prick, like, he's so rude to her.
He is very rude to her.
And we see a little bit at the beginning, mm-hmm. right? She's maybe like a couple minutes late. He's like,
she got in like a car accident.
Yeah.
And she was an hour late. And then he makes it sound like he's like, I did all this work within the hour that you were gone that it was supposed to be you.
And he even says like, surely you can manage 8 a.m. But she doesn't give a lot back to him. She does sometimes, but she's just like, I'm sorry, Mr. Ryan. I understand the burden I placed on you. She gives it back, but off the bat, she calls him Mr. Ryan. And if you work every day with someone, can't we use a first name?
Right. And we had this conversation with Ben. And I guess there are companies out there that are more formal, but we are not used to that.
No.
Mm-mm.
It seemed like, it just seemed odd to me that he calls her Miss Mills. He's Mr. Ryan.
Right.
They call each other that throughout
almost
the book.
Yeah.
So just want to put a little caveat in there. And then after she was just a little bit late from her car wreck,
mm-hmm.
he tells her that she's going to make up the time lost by doing a mock board presentation in the conference room after hours at 6.
But over a project that she wasn't supposed to have done for another 4 months. So
right.
she doesn't really have everything prepared. So she works 7.5 hours to get it all pulled together. What a dick.
She's an intern
mm-hmm.
and she's interning there as part of a project to get her MBA. The point of the internship is that at the end of it, she presents this big project to the board. And like you said, she's been working on it and she has more time left to mm-hmm. work on it. But he's like, I want it today. I want to see a mock presentation today at 6. So that's all we know about them at this point, right? We know they hate each other. It's mm-hmm. a very contentious relationship. So she works all day, slaving, like doesn't eat lunch, doesn't do, like she can't breathe all mm-hmm. day. And then at 6 p.m., she goes into the conference room and it's just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts her presentation. And he's quiet, right? Like he's usually...
I'm sorry, I cannot stop thinking about that guy's day. I just see it. Like, it keeps showing up in my head.
Can we play it again?
No. That's the last thing I need. Okay. Oh, it's hot here.
I'm like deep into some good book stuff.
I know, sorry. Okay,
you're just like, your neck is like, red.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
You want a glass of water?
No, I'm okay. I'm just going to try to push him back.
So she's giving her presentation, mm-hmm. and she notices that he's calm, and he's not berating her for her work, which is odd. At one point, she's leaning over the table, mm-hmm. you know, gesturing to some graphs that she's put together, and she's talking through the timeline and the milestones, and she stops because he puts his hand on her ass
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and starts to caress
right.
her backside.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, this is all within the first chapter. There's no real buildup to all of this.
There's,
you know,
absolutely
tension.
No sexual tension present.
Right. It's she doesn't even mention that she's attracted. Like, oh, he's so attractive, but he's such a dick. She's just like, he's a dick.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no sexual tension. It's just they hate each other. And then in a professional setting, after she slaved away all day mm-hmm. on this presentation, he starts to feel her up mm-hmm. in the conference room.
Right.
In her mind, she's like, in the past 9 months that I've worked for him,
they've never touched.
They've never touched. And this was most definitely intentional.
Yeah.
Her heart is like pounding her chest, and at least like 30 seconds to a minute passes, and neither of them are saying anything, and his hand is just moving down to her thigh.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, turn around, Miss Mills.
And then she has that inner dialogue where she's just like, I know I shouldn't.
Girl, you shouldn't.
But I just can't resist.
And then he's like, what are you thinking? And she's like, I'm still trying to figure that out.
While Kristen would be like, I'm trying to remember the number to HR.
HR is two floors down. I'm going there next. And then it says that his fingers are running down her thigh to the hem of her skirt, and he's moved her skirt up so he's like tracing her garter belt.
Yeah. That also is a whole thing for me. I guess I've just never worn that at work where I have a full-on like
situation. I mean, I wear sweatpants to the office in my home and yeah. jeans to the office at the office.
Right. I've never worn a garter with like, you know, contraption. Like I just
a starfish.
Yeah, I have never done that. It just
again, like this point, we're at the very beginning of the book and it just like slaps you in the face.
Chapter one.
Because all of a sudden he's like, oh, you're so wet. And mm-hmm. she's like, uh-huh. And then it says in one quick movement, he rips her panties off.
Yep. Just like grabs and pulls them down.
Rips them off her body.
Yeah.
And then he just immediately throws her onto the conference table
mm-hmm.
and just starts feeling her up. Then he's like ripping open her blouse, buttons flying across the mm-hmm. conference room. And also, I wanted to point this out. I think they're in New York City.
Chicago.
Okay. They're in a big city, right?
Mm-hmm.
At 6 p.m., people are still working.
People are still working, and there's parts where they're up against the window.
Like, 6 p.m. isn't that late.
And there's still light at 6 p.m. I would imagine if anyone looked up and they just, like, see her boobs, like...
Like, many people work later than 6. So the idea that they're alone in the office
mm-hmm.
and nobody could catch them, they're, like, secluded.
Right.
It's that late at night. No one's on the street. No one's on the... Like, 6 p.m. is still working hours yeah. for a lot of people.
I felt like if it was 11, maybe midnight, it'd be more believable.
6 p.m. Yeah, still before dinner.
Like. Yeah.
But anywho.
I think you and I even work until 6 p.m. most days.
Right. Like, it's just not that late.
Yeah.
But then, before said anything else, he just, like, grabs her ankles, pulls her legs apart, and just, like, thrusts into her
mm-hmm.
on the conference table. And then, I just can't say this enough. There was no prior sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
And they've only had an intern to, what is he, the CEO or CFO
yeah.
relationship. And all of a sudden, he's like, what's that? Never been fucked like this before.
It's very aggressive sexual talk for never having any sort of buildup, any sort of flirting, anything. It was just like, he was an asshole, strictly business. And then 9 months later, he's just like,
very aggressive in the boardroom.
You want my dick.
And then he like pushes her again, like naked up against the window, like you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And then he's just like really into the dirty talk.
It's not good dirty talk for me.
It's not good if you hate each other. Yeah. It's just mean.
Mm-hmm.
But he keeps like saying like, you love that all of Chicago can look up here and see you getting fucked.
Yeah.
He's always just like, say it, say you love it, say you love my cock.
I'm like, how much validation do you need?
And then he's like, answer me or I'll stop and make you suck me off instead. Mm-hmm. Which I'm like, if we have not called HR yet, the CFO talking to an intern being like, suck me off. That's like a clear as day to me.
Clear as day.
I don't know what else would make an HR violation than the boss being like, get on your knees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then after he fucks her, he goes, say thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Let's just say you were into it at that point, but then just the moment of being like, say thank you, I'd be like, HR!
That's it! Like, thank you, thank me! Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean, thank you?
I know.
But then after that, he still is just like, now make me feel good. Like, you didn't feel good before. You were all up inside.
All up in it.
What do you mean? I gotta get to work now. Like, I worked a whole day already.
And she finally has like a sense of like, wait a minute.
Well, not quite, because she does drop to her knees and is like, I'm gonna make you come so hard. And then she's like, should I be down here?
No, girl, you shouldn't.
You should not.
And he's like, oh, yeah. And then she changes her mind.
Yeah. And then so she stands up, you know, pulls her skirt down. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, what do you think you're doing? Get on your knees and open your mouth.
Yeah.
Mm.
Horrible.
Just absolutely horrible. You, first of all, you can't have sex with the interns, right? And then second, if they say no, you can't follow that up with no, get on your knees.
Right. I mean, I'm just speechless because all of this book is so inappropriate for women and consent. And
I just feel like, again, it's one thing if they were together and they're both consensual, like you said.
At no point did he ask, is this okay? He just goes ahead and does it. It's almost like she could be like panicked. And she just goes through with it. He doesn't know if she's doing it because she enjoys it, because she hasn't said anything
yet. She doesn't say anything. Yeah. He's the only one talking and just being like, you like this.
Yeah, say you like it.
Say thank you.
Say it.
She's like, ugh. I mean, like, we know she likes it because we're reading the book from her point of view as well.
Right.
But he doesn't know that.
But he doesn't know.
Oh, this book, you guys.
Which makes me just question him as a person.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't know she's into it. She did not make the advance on him. But she does walk out. She leaves. She goes home. She should have gone to HR, but she goes home.
I know.
And then we kind of flip to his point of view. And he just, like, can't stop thinking about her.
Yeah,
and then,
I mean, she leaves him in the conference room with his pants down.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh in it.
And he does do a little bit of self-reflection. Not enough.
I mean,
but he does realize that, you know, if word got out about what they'd done, not only could he lose his job, but he could lose everything and she could lose everything too.
Mm-hmm.
And he also knows that she's worked for, because this is his family's company, it's his dad's company. She was only months from getting her MBA and she was great at her job, so she would have her pick of jobs when she was done.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, no way she would jeopardize that, because he's worried she would go to HR.
Mm-hmm.
But he thinks, because she's so close to her MBA, she won't, to not jeopardize her current job or future jobs. I just want that to sink in.
Want you guys to really think about that.
He's like, okay, she's not going to go to HR after I have sex with her without permission because she's worried for her job.
What?
Like, severely questioning his judgment.
He's a horrible person.
Really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, he's a little nervous, right, to see her again. As he should be.
Mm-hmm.
And she walks into his office and drops off an envelope. And of course, he's panicked because he's like, surely this is a sexual harassment suit.
Yeah.
Which it should have been.
Right.
But instead, it's a sales receipt from a clothing store charged to the company credit card. And it's for the blouse that he ripped and her panties that he tore off her body. Which you really can't be charging that to the company
card. Also, how many people just have access to company credit cards? Maybe for her, since she does report directly to him.
I do have one. But if you use it, you have to file a very detailed report.
Like, it's very detailed.
So she repurchased her blouse and panties that were ripped the night before on the company card and was like, here's the expense report for it. And then she just walks out and heads for the stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like furious and is following her to like tell her off, you can't do that. And then, of course, when they get in the stairwell, it's like, oh,
gotta have you now.
Yes, of course.
And he just immediately kisses her and like pushes her against the wall and it's like grinding into her and she's like, get your cock out.
Mm-hmm.
I need to feel you in me. And I did want to point this out.
I'm like, way to be strong.
Way to hold out, Chloe. Is they're acting like the stairwell of an 18-floor building is like a private place.
It is the least soundproof place in a building.
It is just echo central.
Yeah.
And it's 18 floors. Like, there's a chance for 18 floors worth of people to walk into the stairwell and hear you moaning.
They seriously act like in the book, because they're on the 18th floor, no one's going to hear them.
Right. Which, and there's no chance.
The logic is just...
In a stairwell, you could be like, hello. And it's like, hello, hello.
Exactly.
It's not a sexy time place.
It's not.
Elevator? Potentially.
Potentially.
Stairwell?
I have a whole thing about that too, but okay.
Well, we're going to get there.
We'll get there.
Anyways, they have sex. In the stairwell. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm close.
Yeah.
He gets his. And yeah, then
this was payback.
Yeah. As payback for like leaving him in the conference room with his pants down. Mm-hmm. He doesn't let her finish.
But he comes inside her.
Which opens up a whole new can of worms.
They have had no conversation about the definition of their relationship.
Contraception.
Nothing. And he just creams all up in her. You know, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what if she wasn't on birth control? What if, also, what if you have an STD?
You like, clearly oh my God. Sleeping around.
Like, I'm already hot. I'm just so angry.
But I guess like one of the worst parts for me is every time they have sex, she's like, oh, I'll never do that ever again. That was such a mistake. I hate myself for doing this.
Right. Because as he leaves her standing there unfulfilled, she goes to the bathroom on another floor and she's just trying to fix herself up. And she just is like questioning, did I just have sex with my boss in the stairwell? I'm like, bitch, yes. Do you not remember what happened 5 minutes ago?
It's almost like when they're together, there's no other option than to have sex.
To have sex, like, that's it.
There's no other choice at all. But I do want to mention, again, he pulls her panties off of her.
Right.
And slides them into his pocket.
Right.
Because what he does is all of her used, ripped panties, he's torn from her body.
He's going to make a quilt.
He puts them into his desk drawer.
Yeah. Ripped panties. Like, very expensive.
At least put them in like a bedside table at home.
No. Desk at work.
Oh, Mr. Ryan. I felt gross saying that.
So gross.
But I'm giving him a hard time, rightfully so. But she's...
I'm more upset with her. I think
because... You know what's on the line.
Right.
She knows if she were to get caught... Her future's out the door.
And you know, as a woman in corporate America, you need to protect your reputation at all costs. Sometimes men can get away with that sort of thing.
Yes. But she's so into it, though.
Her brain just short circuits as soon as they start touching each other.
They mentioned there was one morning that she was having like such a vivid sex dream.
Yeah,
she woke up orgasming.
Yeah.
Like,
the dream was so vivid, she woke up because she had orgasm. She had self-completed. Without even touching herself, because just the thought of him was just enough for her.
And she knows fantasizing about him is just, she says, a one-way ticket to trouble. Because she knows she's on the cusp of getting her graduate degree.
Mm-hmm.
She knows he's an executive, she's an intern, and she even knows he has nothing to lose, and she has everything to lose. When she's not with him, she understands...
What's at risk.
What's at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
She could lose everything.
But the moment he walks through a door, her brain is just wiped clean.
I know. And even I think it's like the next day or the day after, they're in the elevator, floor one, with a ton of people pushed in together. And she's like grinding on him, right? Like,
oh, well, yeah, because they keep saying more people get in the elevator. So she keeps backing into him. And then, of course, her ass is on his dick.
Right. And then slowly but surely, as they go up the floors, people are getting off. When they reach the 15th floor, most people are out, but there's still people in there, but she reaches behind her and like palms him through his pants.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck yes.
She's vagina dumb again.
And then by the 16th floor,
they're alone. And as soon as the doors close, she like hears him growl behind her. And then he puts his hand to press the stop button on the elevator.
And then puts a sticky on the camera.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
So he's preparing.
He's preparing. So he puts a sticky note on the camera so they can't see what's happening.
I mean, that's nice.
Yeah. He's protecting her virtue.
It's just so kind. And then he turns her, so he presses her hands against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he drops down to his knees.
Yes.
And then starts to bite her ass cheeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he's just like, say it. And she goes, oh, I want you inside me. And then they start like going at it in right. the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
But then the elevator phone rings.
Right.
Because they're like, is everything okay in there?
Yeah.
And then they have to stop. Except in that moment, he still did rip her panties off again. And he goes, these are mine.
Oh, God.
One more to the collection.
Mm-hmm.
So on a different day, he's at his parents' house where he's talking to his mom. And his parents are a huge fan of Chloe. So she's worked for their family before.
Totally normal.
Uh-huh. And she used to work for his dad, and his dad loved her, thought she was great at her job, which is why he recommended that she work for his son, Bennett, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So their family loves her more so than the average, I would say. His mom tells him that, you know, she wants him to invite Chloe over for dinner, and there's someone she wants to introduce her to. There's like a family friend, his name is Joel, and she's like, oh, I think they would be a good match. Right. So invite her for dinner. And he has these feelings, jealousy, but he's like, why do I feel a certain way about this?
He doesn't even understand the feelings that he's feeling. He's never felt jealousy. Are you telling me he's never felt jealousy?
God. He's like, what is this feeling?
What?
But then a different day, it was either at their lunch break or I think it might have been after work. They run into each other at La Perla, the super expensive lingerie.
So a little backstory is that Chloe mentions that she is really into expensive lingerie. So everything that he has been tearing off of her body is probably costing her, what, $200-$300 pairs of underwear?
Yes.
Yeah. So she only like shops at La Perla, Agent Provocateur, and those places, their panties are expensive.
Expensive. You know what I think whenever I see the word lingerie now?
What?
Is that there was an episode on The Bachelor
mm-hmm.
where a girl called it lingerie.
No.
It makes me laugh all the time.
That poor girl. And I just want to go back to the elevator because he makes the comment of, you're the one doing this to me.
He does?
Yes. He makes that comment. It just bothered me so much because I'm like, that is like a predatorial comment to be like, it's your fault that I'm acting like this. You know, I just, it's not right. It's not right.
I'm with you. I'm with you, girl. The next day, they run into each other at La Perla. Which, like, what are the odds? I'm just going to throw that out there.
So he's shopping. He's perusing, right?
Well, it's like he was walking down the street, mm-hmm. saw the store and was like, oh, mm-hmm. let me just take a peek in here.
Because he noticed, like, he looked at the tags of her underwear and he was like, oh, you know.
These are nice. Stop ripping them off. They are nice.
And this sales associate was like, oh, do you need any help? And he was shocked that he didn't have the urge to flirt with her. And then he makes the comment of, I'm sure she noticed my diamond cufflinks. And I'm like, oh my God. You're such a douche. And of course, naturally, oh my God, they run into each other because, you know, she's got to get some more panties.
Right. And she walks in and she's like, are you following me? Which, fair.
Very fair.
And he's like, oh, get over yourself, Miss Mills. They start to kind of go at each other in the store.
Drawing attention.
Mm-hmm. So she's like, oh, just come with me. And pulls him into a dressing room. And it sounds like a very nice dressing room.
Right. But she could have pulled him outside of the store.
Well, not what they were going to do.
But yeah, a dressing room is just like asking for it.
Yeah. And when they get in there, they immediately
start banging it out.
Tear their clothes off.
And he is so turned on by the fact that there's a mirror there. So he can see everything that they're doing. And he's just like, you got to see this. And he turns her around.
And first, I mean, they're undressing mm-hmm. and he gets her down to her underwear. At this point, she's like, go ahead and rip
just
them.
Just do it.
You know you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you're right. So they're banging it out. And he's like, turn around. You need to see something.
You got to see this.
What is it? What? Oh, it's us having sex again.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then after they finish, he sees some articles like hanging up on the hanger.
He got really cold too, I felt.
Yeah, once they're done, he like dresses himself, straightens his tie, grabs the ripped panties, puts them in his pocket.
Right, can't forget those.
Can't forget those.
Gotta finish that quilt.
And then he's just like, get the garter belt too. And then just walks out. Walks out, leaves her there.
But this idiot buys the garter belt.
She does.
Yeah.
She's like, okay. And then it's either the next day or the day, it's sometime very soon.
When you're having this much sex, I mean
it's just
keep it straight.
Hard to keep track, you guys. It's just day after day. She walks into his office, shuts the door. He's on the phone having a work call.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
She sits down and kind of lifts up her skirt a little bit, shows him that she's wearing the garter belt. Yeah. She's even like using one of the pens from his desk to like lift her skirt up. Being all sexy, obviously is just like spreading her legs for him where he can see. And he's like on the phone like, oh yeah, that timeline looks good. Yeah, I appreciate those reports you sent over. And then she starts to like fantasize about him in the room. So she starts to like touch herself.
Right.
And like thinking about their time in the dressing room and the elevator. And she is like trying to be quiet. And then eventually just like makes herself come while he's on the phone just watching her. Which in theory is like, it was a very hot scene.
Right. And I think if it were two other people, I'd be like, okay.
That's what I was going to say too. Like, yeah. It was like a very sexy moment.
Right.
And I was into it if I didn't have to power through their backstory we already know. Right. Like, but it was like a very hot scene.
Yes. If I read it in any other book where I like the characters, I'd be like, nice.
Yes.
Good for you guys.
Get it.
Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it.
That song.
Yeah. And then after she's done, she stands up, smooths her skirt back down and goes, that will be all, Mr. Ryan. I'll get back to work. Which again, I feel like even say Mr. Ryan there, like could have been sexy if she didn't always call him that. And it was like a sexy work thing. Like it's like, I feel like if this was more of like they mostly have sex out of the office and then have that sexy moment in the office and she's like, oh, Mr. Ryan. 1,000%. I feel like that could really work here.
Yes. You guys have to remember all their interactions are completely 100% work-based besides La Perla.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
like, I feel like the workplace stuff sometimes could work if it wasn't always at work.
It's more at work than it's not.
Right.
And it really needs to be the other way.
I think that's my gripe about that. Because I think that scene like really could have been something.
Also, yeah, I'm like, you guys got no work to do. You're just trying to seduce each other and then just like hate each other. It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, at this point, it's true. They still hate each other.
Yeah, they haven't admitted anything.
No, and they're still kind of not, I guess they're less mean to each other than they used to be. So at the end of that day, on his way out, he places an envelope on her desk and then continues to walk away without saying anything. And when she opens it, she sees that it's a private credit account at La Perla with him. Him as the account holder.
Unlimited.
Which, like, at this point, say yes, girl. Yeah. Like, if he's going
to
tear those
panties.
Yeah, if he's going to keep tearing those things off, they're what, $200 a pop? Like,
easy average. Yeah.
They're going on his account. She's an intern. She's not making the big bucks.
Right.
He's a CFO. Let him pay for your panties.
Not
he's
enough to be replacing panties on a weekly basis.
No. But she does not have this reaction.
No, her reaction is different.
Furious. She's like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. I'm like, why are you upset?
And she's like, you think this is funny? You think I'm some plaith that you can dress up for your amusement?
Well, that's what you let
him
believe.
That's what you've been doing, yeah. My girl.
Truly, why would he think anything else?
For me, this is the first nice thing he's done. Like, he knows these are expensive. He knows he's ripping them off and keeping them like a psycho. The least he could do is pay for them.
Agree.
I'd be like, yeah, great.
I'll be taking that. Thank you.
But she's furious again. She kind of chases after him, yelling at him. I think she slaps him. She does. She hits him across the face because she's just like that in a rage about
and
it.
And he's like, why do you have to be such a bitch?
Yeah, and she's like, I'm over this. And he's like, maybe just one more time.
She's like, eh, okay.
He's like, all right. Because at this point, they're down in the work parking garage.
Yeah, he follows her all the way to her car.
She's like, yeah, I gotta do it again.
Yeah. Need that D.
Need it real good.
And so they get into the back seat of the car,
which I would assume she drives like a sedan, you know, just like a Honda Civic or something.
And I laughed because there was a note in there that said, like, he pulled himself onto his knees to get into a more comfortable position.
Mm-hmm.
And he like picked up one of her legs and placed it on his shoulder. And just the idea that you're comfortable in a backseat bang situation, like, doesn't exist for me.
They constantly mention like she's got these long legs. So I'm assuming this chick is at least tall. Okay. I think I'm uncomfortable in a backseat position. I'm 5'1". Okay. So I just can't imagine how they're doing it.
I felt I would have liked it if there would have been a note about how like they had to make it work.
Yeah.
Because they were in the car, but they were like, oh, this works for me.
Yeah. Let's be honest. I feel like car sex is just as bad as sometimes shower sex. Like, it all sounds so hot, but when we're in the situation, we're like, what did we do? Why are we
Unless
here?
We're like pre-planning and we're in an SUV crossover and we've
right.
now,
we've, logistics.
We've, you know, put the back seats down so it's flat. Uh-huh. Unless we've pre-planned
for this. If you're putting me in an Escalade where the seats come down, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But just don't feel like it was. I bet it was a sedan.
But they like it.
Of course they do.
She loves it. He loves it.
They're just animals.
At one point, he has both of her legs on his shoulders.
Right.
Which is, again,
just can't picture it working, but okay.
Impressive. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed at this point. I don't know how to end that scene. That's just what happened.
And scene.
And scene. Anyways, we've moved on because now it's the dinner that his mom had planned with their family. They've invited Joel, the guy that his mom wants to set Chloe up with.
Mm-hmm.
So Chloe's there. And I also had a laugh because when she walks in front of his family, she still is like, hello, Mr. Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Miss Mills.
Like, yeah.
We can't be like, on a first name basis ever.
Come on.
Ever. But then they eat outside. Joel seems very nice.
Very pleasant.
Very attentive.
He's
trying to get to know her.
Yeah. I would have went for Joel.
I like Joel.
Yeah.
I got no gripes with Joel. But even as they're at the table, I think she even like slides her foot up his leg.
Yes.
And I think she's even playing,
she's
with,
playing
his,
with his ding dong.
His ding dong. Under the table.
Yeah.
She must have long legs.
Thank you.
To like get it all.
You know, my foot would be like, can't reach. There's no way.
I just felt up Crystal. And it's like quite a weight. And I'm pretty tall.
And you had to slump. See?
This is obvious.
And this is like a regular table. I'm telling ya.
But eventually, she goes to the restroom upstairs. And I think he even says something.
He makes some sort of comment.
He makes a comment about her and it hurts her feelings. So
wanting a different view.
Oh, it's his mom mentioned that there was another girl that she could set him up with.
Oh, right.
And
right,
mentions
right.
that she has like the opposite hair color of Chloe. And he's like, oh, that would be nice. I don't know. She gets hurt. She goes to the restroom, excuses herself.
But I don't think she was really hurt.
No, I don't think so. And then, of course, his dad's like,
you need to go apologize.
Go say you're sorry. And he's like, okay, dad. And then follows
like,
her up. Follows her up to the bathroom. She's upset. She's like, look, I forget what he says, but he's clearly not going to let her leave.
Mm-mm.
And she's like,
he's a predator.
And I think she mentions about how like Joel seems nice, which he does.
Yeah.
But he makes a comment that's like, well, he wants something that's mine and he can't have it.
Right. Predator.
And he's like, and she goes, I'm not yours. And he goes, you might think that, but your body thinks otherwise.
Oh my God.
And then just immediately like puts his hand all up in her.
Yeah. He rips the panties off too, right?
Is that a real question? Of course he rips
just
her panties
to remember.
Off.
Yeah. So how many panties does he have now? Like four?
This would be number four.
Yeah.
Five? Conference room? Stairwell. Elevator?
Yeah. Dressing room?
Dressing room. Back of the car.
Oh, back of the car.
This is number six.
Jeez.
What a collection.
You know, how much do you think that is?
$1,200 bucks. Mm-hmm. It's a very expensive desk drawer.
Yeah.
So he's like getting her all turned on,
mm-hmm.
leads her over to the window that overlooks the family and Joel having dinner. The window's open too, I think, because they can hear them chatting. They can see them below mm-hmm. and they can hear them below talking. He has her facing the window.
Mm-hmm.
He's like all up against her from the back and he's like, look at him, at Joel. Does he make you feel like this? Would he ever make you this wet? And she's like, no. He could. like, give him a chance.
I know, you haven't even tried.
Give him a chance.
But then essentially she's just begging for it.
I also just feel like that was so wrong to me.
Like
to
your be, mom like, is down there.
To be looking at your family.
And he's just like drilling into
yeah, just like look at him. I'm like, that's not hot. I don't want to look at your mom while you're banging me.
But again, at this point, she's just like, rip him. And he yeah, tears
now
him off
she
her.
Wants it.
She does. And then again, you mentioned this earlier that after the sex, he's kind of cold. It's this way here too. So mm-hmm. after they're done, it feels really uncomfortable for both of them. Like mm-hmm. it's the room feels too small. There's this weird silence.
Yeah.
They just don't know. And he's in his mind, he's thinking like, how can I ask her to bang me and only me and not want anything else to change? You can't.
Right.
You can't. And I felt like at this point, I would have liked for him to have some feelings.
Yeah, soften up a little.
I would have liked to see him soften up at this point, mm-hmm. but no. And he does mention that, you know, it was a mistake.
Yeah, because they walk out and his sister's there.
And she was like, what was going on in there? She's
like, and he's like, no, we were talking about work. And I'm like,
in the bathroom?
Does
with
that
with those sounds?
Yeah, no one's moaning when they're talking about numbers.
Yeah,
okay?
And he's like, no, we made a mistake. It was a mistake.
Right.
Which nobody wants to be told that they were a mistake.
No.
That doesn't feel good.
Not even if you know yourself that it's a mistake. I don't want to hear you say that it's a mistake.
Right. I yeah. want to be the one to say it's a mistake. I don't yeah. want you to be the one to say it was.
Right.
I'm not a mistake. You're welcome.
Yeah.
For this.
Yeah.
Those are my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, like really throughout the book, she is constantly battling between him and her entire future.
Right.
After this, she's hanging out with her friend, just confesses everything because she hasn't told anybody about this up to this point. So she tells her friend and her friend's like, well, what matters to you?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, my job and my life after this internship.
Then tighten up, girl.
And my sense of value as an employee, mm-hmm. knowing my contribution matters.
Mm-hmm.
Her friend's like, well, can you still feel good about that and still fuck him?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't know. Which that's all you, that's it. That's the answer.
The I don't know is a no. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a no.
It's no.
She's confessing this to her friend while they're at lunch. They're at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And she pales, Chloe pales, because Bennett walks in with his hand on the small of a cute little blonde girl's ass.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, don't make it obvious, but that's my boss. That's mm-hmm. him. And our friend's like, damn, he is hot. I see what you're doing, Chloe. I see the risks you're taking. He is good looking. And she gets up from the table, goes to the restroom. He, of course, follows her because he sees her too and sees her reaction to him coming in. And she tells him, like, I'm glad to see you here with her because this reminds me why this is such a terrible idea. And she's like, I don't want to be one of the many women you're having sex with.
Right.
And he's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. That's a coworker. And he seems annoyed whenever she makes the assumption that he's on a date. He's like, you think I'm on a date? Unbelievable. She's a friend.
Yeah. But like, remember, they have had no conversations about any kind of parameters of their relationship. She has every right to like jump to conclusions.
Yes, of course. But he stops her and he tells her that he hasn't been with anyone since they started to be together.
Oh, thanks. That's so sweet.
I feel like that is, you know,
it's one of the nicer things that he's done.
It's a good,
but still.
I understand.
Yeah.
And he also says, you know, I didn't mean to say it was a mistake. And he tells her he just panicked. And she's like, well, it doesn't mean it's not true. Like it is a mistake. We both know it's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And he just says, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But then she goes, prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Which to anyone else would be like, don't be an asshole. For them, it means tear my panties off.
Right.
Which he does.
Of course he does. He's not going to miss an opportunity.
Gets her against the wall, puts his hand on her panties, and he's like, these are almost too pretty to rip.
But he's going to do it anyway.
Almost. Just rip. Like, tears them off again.
God.
And then, of course, puts them in his pocket. This is what, number 8?
Yeah.
7? And there is a point where they're in the bathroom for a while,
mm-hmm.
and her friend does call when they're mid-bang.
Yes.
And she's
breathing heavy.
Don't answer the phone.
It's so
if
awkward.
If you're getting that D, just be like.
I do not want to hear anyone. Oof. I call you and you're having sex. Please do not answer
why would
the phone.
I ever
but
answer?
That's what I'm saying. Like that's why?
Why?
It just.
She's like, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
And she's like, are you having sex with him right now? She's like, yeah, it's yep. so good. Like, mm-hmm. put the phone down.
Yeah, just come on. Come on. It was her friend should just make that assumption. They're probably having sex. I'm leaving.
Have you ever been in just a public restroom and someone someone's just on the phone. I hate that.
I hate that.
Why do people do that? I was back when we were in the office, mm-hmm. there was somebody in the restroom on a work call.
No way.
Yes.
Like peeing.
Yes. <they're> just...
Well, that happened while we were at home, though. I think I told you about it.
You heard someone?
No. It was me. I was helping my daughter go to the bathroom, and I thought I had it on mute, but I didn't. And so I flushed, and then I heard someone on the call giggle. And he was like, Crystal.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I was like, I was helping my daughter.
That is mortifying.
It was bad.
That's...
I mean, it wasn't as bad as if it were me just like peeing, but...
No one wants to hear your stream. I'm just going to say.
No one wants to hear it. Or a flush. The flush is the worst part.
That's hilarious. You didn't tell me that. That's so funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Anyways, you know, the next work day, she gets a call from her dad, mm-hmm. who says that he has to get some tests done. He's not feeling great. And she's worried about him. And she's visibly upset about it. And he starts to give her a hard time, I think. And she's like, look, I can't do it today. Can we not do it today? I would appreciate it if you just didn't speak to me today. And he's like, are you okay? Like, obviously not.
Right.
And she tells him, you know, not really. I'm not okay. And he's like, okay, come in, close the office door, thinking this would be a nice moment for them to have a conversation.
Right.
But instead he's like, let me touch you. Let me do something.
Get your mind off of it.
I read this too often in a book where the woman is like, upset about something in her personal life, mm-hmm. and the man thinks the answer is his magical dick.
It's his peen.
It's not. Like, if she's upset, she doesn't need you to offer up the good deed, right? Like, that's...
Yeah, and I also just find it very arrogant for you to think that your penis is going to solve all her problems.
Like, oh, you're upset about your dad? Let me fuck it out of you.
Like,
And you made a comment earlier off the podcast when we were talking about this a little bit, mm-hmm. where, you know, if she was like, I would love a distraction.
Right.
Could you make me feel better?
Yeah. like I need, let's just do it. I just need a physical distraction. And he'd be like, yeah, let's do it.
But for him to be like, oh, I see you're upset. Want me to bang it out of you?
Right. And he just proceeds to do it.
He does.
But then in the book, she's just like, he knew what I wanted. I'm like, you guys don't even know each other. Okay.
God. And of course, hand up, rips the panties off, mm-hmm. in the desk drawer.
Right.
And she does. Go ahead. You were to say something.
I picture like a year into this relationship and just like a pile, like at
just
some
bursting
point,
out of
what
the
are you going to do with them? What? Like,
make a quilt.
Make a quilt. Seven of them.
So because her dad potentially was sick, he's not, he's fine. But she does.
That was like nothing.
It was nothing. She does take some time off, like a week, maybe two weeks.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks or something like that.
Takes some time off, goes to visit her dad. She feels refreshed. She feels like she has a plan in place, mm-hmm. because again, she knows it's the bad idea to keep messing around with him. But they are meeting up together. I want to say San Diego. Uh-huh. I don't know.
For a convention.
For a work convention.
And they knew this was going to be the true test of their, quote, relationship. Could they handle it? Obviously not. You know that from the minute you read this book, this is not going to work out.
Yeah. And she was like, okay, I've got a suitcase full of power panties. I am not going to let him see them.
So then why would you buy the power panties? I would buy like straight on granny panties. The
Lock ones, it up, girl.
Yeah, the
Lock
ones that go up almost to your boob. They're like your period panties.
Lock it in. They meet at the airport.
She picks him up at the airport.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they go back to the hotel where the convention is at. They're checking in.
I felt like this is the part where he starts to slowly not be so intense. Because
Agreed.
When they see each other at the airport, he like has this huge smile on his face.
He has like a genuine smile. He's very happy to see her. Which, well, you're right, is the first moment of like, oh, he does have a heart.
Okay.
He is just happy to see her, mm-hmm. not just yank her underwear off her body.
Right. And they have actually like pleasant smile. Talk.
He asks about her dad.
Yeah,
like
they try.
They do. It's good. So they get to the hotel and I think she's checking them in. Like she's only gone for a second and she turns around and sees a woman slide a room key into his hand.
Yes.
And she gets very territorial.
It's been like maybe 5 minutes.
And
he's already getting
quick.
Offers.
Yeah. He must be
that guy.
He must just have
that big dick energy.
Just a garden hose down there. Again, she is territorial, so she walks over and goes, "Bennett, are you ready to head upstairs?" Mm-hmm. And he's shocked because she's never used his first name before. She's only ever called him Mr. Ryan. Mm-hmm. So he's just like, like
he's totally turned on by this too.
He is, yeah. And then he turns to the woman who's standing there and is just like, "Excuse me, as you can see, I came with somebody." Mm-hmm. She, in her mind, is like, "What did I just do? Like, why did I just do that? Why did I get territorial? Why did I stake claim over him?"
Because you've been banging him for weeks.
And then she just runs away, basically. Mm. She, like, hightails it to the elevator, trying to get out mm-hmm. of this situation. But he chases after her. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, "What are you mad about? Like, is this about the woman downstairs with the key?"
God, he's so dumb.
And he makes a comment that was like, "You think I would be interested in any random woman who puts a room key in my hand?
Yes.
What kind of man do you think I am? The kind who would follow a woman after a room. What are you talking about?" And I don't even just mean him. Like, how many single men are going to turn down a hot woman at a work conference? Like, right. This is like...
That's right? Their jam.
Like, this is like easy pickings for him.
Right.
Of course he would follow her back. Mm-hmm. Don't
but
act
he's
like
a
you're
stand-up
too...
I'm
like, don't lie to us now. Like... We know you'd go mm-hmm. and no judgment for that, like,
right, but don't
pretend like you wouldn't do it,
like me.
What?
Yes, you.
So they get to her room, and their rooms are actually next door to each other,
right?
They get into her room, they have a moment together for the first time that's just like kind of a softer moment. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Look, I want all of you for one night. No holding back. Like, I'll leave you alone after this, but I just need tonight.
Let's not be catty. Let's not be mean to each other.
Right.
Just for tonight.
Let's like drop our walls. Like, let's just be us together mm-hmm. and just see what happens.
Just lots of sex.
I mean, we know what's happening.
Yeah.
I felt the connection for the first time
right
here.
At what percentage was this?
60%.
Yeah. And usually 60% is when you have your first fight.
You're leading up to the fight at
where
70%.
You're like, "Oh no, it's not going to work."
But we had to get to 60% to feel any sort of real emotion.
Any connection, yeah.
Where it wasn't just like hate sex and regret. There was regret after all of the previous ones.
Every single one.
So this one felt like the first time they were both in it for, you know, a reason other than just mm-hmm. tearing panties.
Tearing panties.
And this also was the first time where he doesn't rip her panties off. He slides them down her body. Like,
Nice. Thanks for letting me keep these.
But the first time they're like having a sensual moment, mm-hmm. he isn't as aggressive.
Right. He's a little softer.
And it's, again, like just a lot of hot sex. Like
lots of sex.
And I won't say it's not steamy.
Because they're
it
like
is
clothed.
Very steamy.
They like back into the shower. So they get all wet, fully clothed, and then they strip naked in the shower.
Yeah. And they go to the bed. They're so like wet.
Soaking wet.
And
more ways than one.
It is very steamy.
Yeah.
Very, very steamy. And the next morning, she wakes him up with a blowjob. He's mm-hmm. into that. Loves that wake-up call.
I'm surprised he wasn't like, "You don't have to."
Well, he's like, "Whoa, this is awesome." Like, again, the first time we're actually seeing the real him and right. he's not terrible.
Yeah.
I liked this part of the book.
I wish this part was more extended, more part of the book.
Yeah. And he's very honest. He's like, "I really like what we have here. I don't want to walk out of this door and us to lose this connection that we have." He is pretty vulnerable with her
right.
and tells her how he feels. The thing that stops it, though, is again, it is a conference. They have to leave the hotel room, right, mm-hmm. during the day. They have a moment in this room where they lock eyes mm-hmm. and kind of lean towards each other and just have like a very intimate moment, mm-hmm. just like looking at each other. And he sees that somebody noticed that moment. Every bit of guilt he was suppressing hit him all at once because, right. again, he's reminded that if it ever got out, the entire community would judge her for sleeping with him.
Right.
And I think he had kind of lost sight of that or just pushed it to the side because he wanted her so badly, but he was just starkly reminded that she has a lot on the line and the guilt he felt about this is big. And he's right. He wouldn't lose anything.
Right.
He starts to kind of push her away a little bit. She can tell. She can tell, and she ends up saying like, "You know, you have dinner tonight," and he's like, "Oh, are you going to come?" She says, "No, I'm going to do my own thing. There's other interns here that she was going to go out with and have mm-hmm. a good time." She ends up staying out later with her group of, you know, work friends. Mm-hmm. And he starts to get kind of antsy about it. So much so that at one point he does call her and ask her when she's coming back, and she's like, well, I'll be back when I'm back. This is
Dad.
Right. But when she comes into the lobby around 2 in the morning,
2 a.m.
he's sitting there kind of like looking disheveled, rumpled suit. His hair's a mess because he's been like pulling out his hair, just like so stressed out. And she knows why. And she tells him, like, someone saw us looking at each other earlier, having right. that moment. And she goes, I saw your face. I know you panicked. And he tells her, you know, I'm not worried about how it looks for me. I'm worried about how it looks for you. And there's really nothing left to say, but they do just kind of go back upstairs and get it on. At the same time, he is, you know, really thinking it through that it's more than just sex for him at this point.
Finally.
It's taken a while to get here.
Yeah.
But he does.
I'm actually shocked how effortless it seemed for him just to be like, I want to be with you.
It was. It's you like know. Once he opened that door.
It was just like, bleh.
And he was, I felt like he was pretty mature about it.
He was. Yeah.
After he got there, he was like, I want you. I want right. this. I want us. I want us to talk about the future. Let's make it work. He comes up with a plan. He's like, you're only our intern for X amount of months. Like, you're getting close to the end. Like, we can make this work.
Right.
She's a little bit more unsure.
She's really, I think she's more caught off guard.
Yeah. And I would be too. Yeah. I mean, he has made quite the flip of personality or yeah. how he's treating the situation. And again, like, they're having sex later that night, and after they're laying there kind of cuddled up in bed. And he just tells her again, like, I want more than just this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be with you. And she doesn't really give an answer yet, but she does want to be with him too. Right. I mean, we can tell that she's super into him. But then the next morning, he wakes up really sick.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had food poisoning from something.
Some sushi place, yeah.
Yeah, but he has a meeting with another executive at a different company. And I think they're actually a client of his. So he has a meeting that he can't make because he's sick. And she offers to reschedule it for him. And he's like, you know what? No.
You do it.
You do it. You're prepared. You'll be great. Go have the meeting. I believe in you. And she does great. She has a pitch and it goes perfectly. And she's really proud of herself. Like, she's really proud that she had this first meeting with an executive. It went really well.
I mean, it's got to be a nice feeling. I mean, this is a meeting that the CFO of a company was supposed to be handling, and she took it.
And she did great. And she comes back and she's gushing to him about how well it went. And he tells her he's super proud of her. And it's just like a really good moment for her and her career. But then, I mean, they have more sex later.
Of course they do.
But then it's time for them to leave, right? The conference is over. They're in the lobby. She's checking them out. And he runs into that client that Chloe had met with. The client tells Bennett that he was impressed with Chloe. And he actually, I think, offered Chloe a job after she graduates. Mm-hmm. Like, he was impressed with her. Bennett's like, I'm glad Chloe had the chance to go through the exercise. And the guy's like, yeah, Chloe is sharp. It went just fine. What Bennett doesn't know is that Chloe was overhearing this conversation.
Right.
And the client says that he overheard that Chloe has a big scholarship. That's fantastic. You know, asking if she's staying on with his company after she finishes her degree. Bennett goes, yeah, I'm not sure yet. She's a great kid. Definitely needs some seasoning though. And the client's kind of, you know, chuckling and goes, seasoning or not, I'd snatch her up in a beat. She held her own in there. Bennett goes, of course she did. Who do you think trained her? And he's like, that meeting was a great way for her to get her feet wet, so I appreciate you doing that. The whole thing was just super condescending.
Right. Real gut punch.
I mean, especially after she came back.
And was gushing about it.
And was gushing about it, so proud of herself. And then to hear him talk about...
And calling her kid.
Calling her kid, saying she needs some seasoning. Said things like, she'll be great when she's ready.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she overheard it, so she's upset. And she's cold to him, doesn't really engage with him that much.
She's like, what's wrong?
And then,
like, you're an idiot.
I felt like I was team Bennett for like a little bit there, right? But then in his own mind, after she's like been kind of cold to him and brushed him off, he's thinking it through and he has a thought. Goes, I knew women could get moody out of the blue,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't seem like what happened with her. And I just wanted to be like, we don't just get moody out of the blue, no, Bennett. Like, it's no. people like you who make us like this. And I hated that even in his thoughts, he was like, women, they're just bitches. But
yeah,
I just felt like... You had me a little
bit. Yeah, I just feel like the assumption is that, oh, she's probably on her period.
Right. I'm like, no, you're just a dick.
You're just kind of an asshole.
And then he realizes that he was kind of slimy when he was talking to that client. But his reasoning for acting like that about her was that he didn't want her to work for a guy like him. Mm-hmm. And he'd probably just treat her like a piece of meat and stare at her ass all day.
And he recognizes his own.
I just feel like, so you're going to downplay her efforts mm-hmm. because you think another male executive
wants to do the exact same thing you've been doing with her.
I hated it. Mm-hmm. I hated it. And eventually she tells him why she's upset. She's like, you sounded dismissive to me and you acted like it was a training exercise. And she felt ridiculous mm-hmm. for how excited she was about how well she did. And she said, you called me kid.
That's the worst part.
And he goes,
I did.
And then he goes, I guess I just didn't want him to see you as this bombshell businesswoman who he could hire and try to fuck. Mm-hmm. And it's just,
he's selfish. It's all about him and his feelings and what he wants.
And she even says, like, maybe he wanted to hire me because I can do the job right. well. Like, why can't because that of my be merit? An option? Why can't it be because I'm good at my job and not mm-hmm. because you think I'm, what, a bombshell? And that's the only reason why he would hire me. And you know what he says? He goes, I think you're overreacting.
Because, you know, women love to hear that.
I have shut the door on Bennett Ryan.
I mean, that and calm down are like the two things that will set me off even more.
Like, you were an asshole. She calls you out on it and you say, I think you're overreacting. Mm-hmm. And she's not. She's communicating why she's upset because of what he did wrong.
But he's not really good at the communication, so.
And she's like, you know what? Maybe I am. You're not. And she's like, but I've worked my ass off to get where I'm at mm-hmm. and I'm risking it all for you.
I mean, she is.
She is. Mm-hmm. And the next day, his dad goes into his office, slaps down a piece of paper. It's Chloe's resignation.
Yeah.
She quit.
Finally.
Finally. Finally. You're like 4 weeks too late, mm-hmm. but she quit.
Better late than never.
And his dad is like, tell me what happened. And he does. He's
like, I fucked up.
A lot.
Yeah.
And he's like, God damn it. Like, come on. We have policies in place for this not to happen.
Right. Policies he knows about.
And after work, he goes over to her place and he's like, baby, please let me in. I need to talk to you.
Okay. He basically snuck his way in.
He did.
And that was also, I was just like, can you not just like be a predator for 1 minute? Like she wasn't answering the door. So he basically tricked the doorman by saying like he was a cousin.
And he was worried about her.
Right. And so he goes up there and he's like, hey, my bad. And then the guy's just like, okay, clearly you're not here for the reasons you said you were. So we got to go.
Yeah. And then he just falls off. Like everything's wheels are off the bus.
Yeah.
He's drunk for like 2 weeks straight.
Because this is the MO.
Yeah. He just goes down a dark, dark path. But at this point, it's now time for her presentation, this mm-hmm. big presentation. Because during those 2 weeks where he was getting being a drunk loser, she had to get a different internship for uh-huh. the last month to try to get a presentation that will be, you know, good enough to present to the board, which is a huge, huge deal. Because again, like she's worked for Ryan Media, this company for so long, mm-hmm. spent all that time working on that account and the presentation, and now she has to find a new one.
Right.
And she had to, you know, bust her ass for a couple weeks to get it together. She's waiting to do her presentation. She's in kind of like a holding room, right? An assistant comes in and says that she needs Chloe to sign some papers first and asks her to follow her. And when she goes into this room, Bennett is there.
Because he can't just stay in his lane.
And it's like, this is a really big day for her.
Right.
Can you not?
Let's frazzle her right before her presentation.
Like, can you not like mess with her mind before this giant presentation?
Right.
She's like, look, I have a new presentation. I'm going to do this one. But he had brought her old one mm-hmm. and printed out her handouts and was like, this one is better. This is more impressive. Do this one. Which, again, she's not prepared to do that one.
Right. And she actually didn't put the presentation all together. He said that he went through her stuff and then like basically pieced it together.
Yeah. And it's like she's been prepping for this presentation for the other one for a little bit now. She's ready for this one. And it was a good one.
Right.
But he's like, do this one.
This one's more impressive.
And at the very last minute,
I'm like, fuck you. Just leave.
It's presentation day. You couldn't come yesterday to give me even like a little bit of a heads up.
No, no.
It's like
Minutes before
she's going in.
Right. I also think it's weird when she's like, damn you, Bennett. Like, I've never said damn you anybody. It just sounds like such an old thing to say. Damn you. Like, you gotta raise your fist in the air.
And then again, right before she goes in, he's like, take me back, Chloe. Tell me right now that you will. It's like bossy.
Well, yeah, he's like, you can never leave me again.
Oh, and then so she does her presentation. It goes great. Mm-hmm. I mean, they offered her a job there. She did so great.
Right.
He tells her she's taken. Okay.
Yeah. I mean.
So she gets a job offer on the spot,
mm-hmm.
which she very well could have wanted. Mm-hmm. To the other people in the room, he goes, she's taken.
Mm-hmm.
We're offering her a job. Right. Like, don't turn the job down for her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's so unprofessional.
It's very unprofessional. And it's just a dick move.
It is.
Like, you have to allow her to speak, Bennett.
And then they're eventually alone in the room and they're kind of flirting a little bit. And he's like, this flirting is all well and good, but I mean it when I say I can't have you leave me again.
Right.
Like, it almost broke me. And she says, you know, I don't think I could. I don't want to be away from you either. And he says he loves her and she loves him.
She's mentally ill. She's been mentally conditioned because this is not a healthy relationship.
I know, but that's the book.
And also, at no point in this book when they were talking about the progression of the relationship, did they say like boyfriend or girlfriend? They said lover.
They did say lover.
And I was like, ew.
Nobody wants to hear
lover. I don't want to be called someone's lover. It sounds like I'm a hussy. This is my lover.
Like, we should say the word hussy more often than we do. But that was it.
That was it. And we are no smut shaming. We did not shame any of the smut. It
the
was
smut
just...
was hot.
The smut
okay?
was hot.
The scenes themselves were spicy, sexy, into mm-hmm. it.
We just didn't like the characters.
The backstory of the plot just didn't do it for
it didn't.
Me. I just, what I need in these books is the sexual tension leading
yes.
up to it. That is what I'm looking for.
Yes.
Make me want more, right? And
yes.
I did not get the sexual tension in this
no.
book.
It just slapped you right in the face.
It slapped me right in the face. And I'm not even sure how I would have felt about the rest of the book had I had the sexual tension. Maybe I would have liked it more. I can't tell.
But I don't know. He says a lot of dick things.
I know.
Say it. Say you want it.
Say thank you.
Yeah. And then suck my dick. Like, it's just like, come on.
On your knees.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't be reading the series.
I'm upset. I feel bad to say it. I'm upset I bought the book. We both bought it. God.
And that's the thing about Christina Loren. It's such a hit or miss for me.
Right.
Either I really enjoyed it
mm-hmm.
or I really, really didn't like it. And I thought that I would love it because, again, I feel like this one is pretty popular. I've read some workplace romances that I really did enjoy.
Right.
You know which one I loved is By a Thread.
Yes, that was
by
a good one.
By Lucy Score.
I love that
one.
That
one was great.
That one is really great.
That
was actually a recommendation someone
wanted
that.
That
yeah.
one was so good. If you want a really hot workplace romance,
yeah.
By a Thread, Lucy Score.
It's a little bigger.
It's longer, but
it's
there's
because
that
there's build up.
You need the build up.
You need that
build up. You
just do. Yeah.
Unless you're reading like a novella or...
Right. You know that's going to be quick.
Yeah. But
this was a 300-page book.
Yeah.
There could have been at least a little build-up, couple chapters.
I need a little
chapters.
Bit of sexual tension. I need, like, the eyes across the room.
Something.
I need, like, he's checking her out mm-hmm. in a conference room. Like, I need something that leads me to believe they like each other.
Right. The thing is that it's a perspective book, so all of it was really all her perspective, all the way up until she is being groped in the conference room. So even if he had feelings for her...
You don't
we
know.
Didn't know.
And I just, again, at the beginning, I didn't like how their first interaction that wasn't hate
mm-hmm.
was him feeling her up in the office.
Right. And he just immediately goes into the dirty talk.
You can't ask your intern to suck you off
right.
without anything leading up to it.
Right. There's no past conversations. Like you said, no flirting, nothing. And then he's just like, you gonna suck me off?
I'm just like I needed something different.
HR.
Someone to call HR.
1000% HR.
I am curious if anybody else felt this way about this book, because so far, and it was like this with Our Way, is I felt like everybody who had talked about the book really, really loved it. So I felt a little bit bad about being as harsh as we were. And I feel that way now too,
right.
a little bit, that I wonder if anybody
Look,
else feels this way too.
In my opinion, I feel like it was the cover of Our Way that really blinded everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're going to separate the sex scenes from the plot and say one is good, like that's fine.
Right.
I'm with you. On the steam. But the plot, I can't get behind it. Well, let us know what you guys thought. I'm super curious. Well, that was Beautiful Bastard. Next up, we are doing Flirting with 40 by Kay Bromberg.
And this is more of a dedication because this is close to my birthday.
Your 40th birthday.
Take 40. I'll be crying alone in the shower that day. No biggie. So can't wait for that one.
Yeah. So next up, Flirting with 40. And we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and subscribe to our podcast.
Thanks for listening. Bye.